What's up, world? This is Tyson from News AF, and we are here on the first week of June 2021 to talk about all the wacky news stories that happened this past week.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Okay, so first off, our very first news story. First of all,
our new guest.
We got to introduce our new guest.
The Rob Devins. Substitute.
Dun, dun, Rob dun, dun, dun,
yeah.
I just slipped that in there for you.
You did. That's his that's his little trademark, Danny.
He's got a trademark?
Yeah, why don't you do a headline about you joining the podcast for the week?
Then, well, hold on. Do hold the on. Music. Let's back up. Who is Devins?
Devins. I mean, I could let him introduce himself.
Let him introduce himself.
Yeah, he's going to, that's what we're going to do. He's going to do an entire headline about him joining the podcast and who he is and how we know him, et cetera. Can you do that on the spot like that?
I can try. I'm feeling introspective with the who is Devins question, but I can try for the headline. Yeah.
Here we go.
Dun, 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 dun. This just into the Survivor. No, News AF newsroom. Rob Cesternino on the road. That means Devins is on your screen and in your ears. What are we talking about today? Not little hands, but big feet. And there's more. A little place for you to find your inner self and a name that nobody wants no more. And now your hostess with the mostest, Tyson Apostle.
Wow.
Dang. That was pretty good.
Maybe we
right?
handed over the reins to the wrong person, Tyson.
That's what I'm saying. He was too pro. We needed somebody who was a little more amateur.
Just
than,
turn him off now. Devins. Turn him off right now. Just to block
I'm
him.
Connection issues.
So, yeah. So, Devins was on Survivor. What season was that? Devins 38?
Season 38. Everyone, you probably recognize it from everyone's top 10 list.
Yes.
Edge of Extinction. You know something about that.
Well, I mean, it's better than being on 39. You really dodged a bullet there.
You're not kidding. I think about that all the time.
I'm so glad they didn't just throw me on the other one. And so Rick is of Survivor fame. Danny famously does not watch Survivor, refuses to watch Survivor.
Oh, well, unless Tyson's on it.
Unless I'm on it.
The minute he's voted off, I no longer watch.
Just like what I do. the minute I'm voted off, I'm like, I don't know what, I don't care. So that's why he's here with us, Danny. Danny, Devins is one of my good friends, lifelong friends. We've known each other for over 50% of our lifetimes.
Yep.
And we met each other through bike racing, but also shared similar senses of humor. And Danny has been called the only wet blanket you want to wrap yourself up in by other friends. And I think that's why I enjoy him so much, because he keeps it real. So I went to Utah last week.
Yep.
And I met Danny in person.
IRL
in real life. And we did some helicoptering because Danny has a friend who has a helicopter, and he's also my friend. And so I joined him for some helicopter shenanigans. And I have to say, Danny, while I'm very excited for you and for Matt about your passion of flying helicopters and jets, I don't share that same passion.
It's rightfully so. It can
it's
be terrifying.
Fun. It's not terrifying, but it's just like, I don't get up in the morning super excited to go. Like, I've been in helicopters, so like going in one every day for me is not, but these guys, Danny's the co-pilot, Matt's the pilot, and they were, while flying helicopters, they were talking about other people that fly helicopters almost the entire time they were flying helicopters. And I was
cool.
Like, that's a lot of helicoptering stuff.
Devins, have you ever been in a helicopter?
I As have a newsman, been he's like high in the sky, probably. In a helicopter, just like above the Cherry Blossom Festival at the Macon Fair. I didn't win the helicopter challenge on Survivor. So Probst or no one flew me around out there.
What were your impressions? Did you have the fear?
I really enjoyed it.
Would you want to do it every day?
But the truth is, actually, since I've been in a helicopter and since I returned from Survivor, where I would have loved to be in a helicopter, there have been a lot of negative news stories about helicopters, which actually has increased my nervousness about them.
No, I thought you were going to say desire. And I was like, living on the edge, dude.
The truth is, they're in the air only through a lot of work and things working together. And the minute any component of the whole system begins to break down, you're going to have a problem. Not like you just turn the engine off and glide back down. Auto rotation, obviously an option to turn off the engine and let those rotors just catch the air on the way down. But it's something you either love or, like Tyson, maybe you don't fancy nearly as much. I think it's cool because it's like, if you love nature, it's like endless nature porn from the front row seat.
See, I like it just fine. But for me, like if I lived by you and you guys invited me every day, I would go once every 2 weeks.
I know what part you liked. You liked the ability of the helicopter to get rid of the stupid part of the run. So we just flew right to the best part. And then you got out and we ran 4.5 miles and you didn't have to do any of the garbage coming up from the valley floor.
No, nope.
So that had to have been nice.
That's not what I loved most. I loved most hanging out with my buds in the helicopter, catching up and Matt, who is the head pilot and owner of the helicopter, had Danny land it. And he said, you get to land it. You get to do all the radio things because Danny has taken helicopter pilot classes. And he said, the only condition is, Danny, you have to communicate with the tower in a Russian accent,
which I refuse to do,
which he refused to do.
I take it very seriously.
That's the problem is there's no joking in the sky, dude. Nobody jokes in the sky. Like they're on the radio and they're like 6949 or 8-4 requesting clearance to 12,000 feet. And I'm just like, say a joke, somebody. But Danny did do a mock Russian approach and it was beautiful. And that's probably my biggest regret of the whole trip is that Danny did not actually
cue the radio. Yeah.
Do you want to do a little bit of the Russian approach?
You know, I can't. Someone asked me to do the Russian. I think Matt mentioned to somebody, I can't just do the Russian thing out of the, just pull it out of the hat. I'll end up doing like Indian or German or something like that. it would have been great. But honestly, I don't want to be the responsible person when something tragic happens because some moron was doing a Russian accent and threatening the other American pilots coming into land.
News AF. News AF headline story.
Yeah.
Uses fake Russian accent.
Yeah, international incident.
Devin is right. What if it like they didn't know, but it sparked some kind of investigation? The FAA is out combing the airport for some kind of like Russian agent.
It's true. We're like, no, none of us here have a Russian accent. That's true. That could be happening too. So,
how many moose and squirrel do you have in Utah? Because that could.
A lot.
Well, then that's going to draw some Russians. I've learned anything from cartoons.
Is that a Bullwinkle reference?
100%.
Boom. Old Bullwinkle, I'm assuming. I haven't seen the new Bullwinkle, but I think there is one.
I think there is one. I've seen a few episodes with the kids, but it, you know.
So you said, I think there is one, but then you confirmed that you actually know there is one.
I have to check with my secondary sources. It's a journalism thing.
Okay. Yeah, you don't want to, you definitely don't want to share news.
But Tyson,
yes?
What better way to win the award or the reward that you're about to talk about than using a helicopter?
That's what I'm saying. And this is why this story is right up your alley, Danny. Our first headline story of the day, Bigfoot bounty of $3 million announced by Oklahoma lawmaker.
Why do so many Bigfoot stories come from the Midwest? I'm assuming you can call Oklahoma the Midwest. Have you noticed there was the guy who was writing Bigfoot erotica? He was somewhere over there, like far away from what I would consider to be Bigfoot country. Then there was the guy trying to start a Bigfoot hunting season. It's as if this is the same guy. Carry on. Sorry.
This guy has apparently this part of Oklahoma is notorious for Bigfoot sightings and he's tried to do a hunting season. Now he got a bill passed or is trying to pass a bill that will, give a $3 million bounty to someone who captures Bigfoot alive. He's very
alive.
He said, we're not killing this creature. If we find this creature, we want to keep alive and we just want to enjoy its presence. And, it's, seems like it's a tourism push to get people talking about the area and to come into the area. There is a Bigfoot festival there, et cetera. So
that's a big assumption, Tyson, that this would just be done for tourism. I think that this is basically just a passion for Bigfoot.
Science and research.
Yes.
So definitely science involved, for sure.
And so you think there's a panel of scientists somewhere in the back?
Oh, without a doubt. In Oklahoma, there is a panel of Bigfoot scientists. You know, this is the most dangerous thing ever for people who have a lot of body hair. It's like,
no, but they're capturing them alive. So the worst case scenario, you're going to get like a,
yeah, but they also wanted a hunting season. You know, it's like, yeah. What do you want? You're sending a conflicting message. You want everyone to be walking around with a gun looking for Bigfoot, but you also want him alive. Also, what are the odds you're going to bring in Bigfoot alive? You think that he's just going to volunteer himself for capture? There's no way.
For a cut of the bounty.
Oh,
that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Buy all the beef jerky you want.
Yeah, dude, Jack Links. I think, Danny, how much would it take for you to convince Matt that you need to fly the helicopter to Oklahoma and just circle and circle and circle till you find Bigfoot?
I'm not convinced he's in Oklahoma. You've heard my story about what happened in Washington State a month or two ago. And by the way, I did, for the listener who suggested the Fisher Cat, I did listen to the Fisher Cat, and it's been too long for me to remember what the sound actually was. So I'm just going to let my imagination run wild and Danny, say that I definitely heard Bigfoot.
Yeah. Danny went up to Washington State, parked his car somewhere in the earlies of the morning, and heard a mysterious sound unlike any other known creature to him. So he obviously
automatically and I saw tracks. I mean, they're most likely black bear, but still it whole lent to the whole Bigfoot vibe. Mm-hmm. So I think that can I capture him in Washington State and still claim the prize in Oklahoma? Is that good acceptable? Question.
Or do you otherwise transport him secretly to Oklahoma, like sedate him?
Smart. No,
Harry and the Hendersons. I just put him in the back of the car. Like
on
you guys
top
said.
Of the car, not in the back. Like, oh, was on top like a Christmas tree, wasn't it?
Sedated or not, you probably don't want a Bigfoot in the helicopter just in case.
No, yeah. You don't want him waking up or running out of Slim Jims and going absolutely berserk. I don't
this
even
reminded understand. Me this whole story reminded me so much of a quote from The Office that I looked it up for this occasion. This is one of my favorite characters, Creed. He says, two eyes, two ears, a chin, a mouth, 10 fingers, two nipples, a butt, two kneecaps, a penis. I've just described to you the Loch Ness Monster. And the reward for its capture, all the riches in Scotland. So I have one question. Why are you here?
Oh, I like that.
Why are we not in Oklahoma right now?
The Office just wrote the commercial for the. Yeah.
They did. This is going to go. This is on every in-flight magazine going to Oklahoma. This is the back cover of all of those in-flight magazines.
I mean, Tyson, we leave our families for 7 weeks at a time for a chance at $1 million. We should be leaving at least 21 weeks for this. Give it a shot.
But that's only if they limited it to 20 people maximum. See, because the odds are, I think, less.
That's what you're worried about is someone else finding him first.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Hundreds of people being there. Versus 20. If they were like, Tyson, we've hand selected you. There's only 20 people for a shot at $3 million. And one of you is most probably, unless something happens to the network, walking away with that money. Then I would do it.
So they quote the Museum of Unnatural History, the Museum of Unnatural History.
Yes.
Which sounds like an awesome museum.
Describes I would love to go there.
Bigfoot as a hairy giant that stands 7 to 9 feet tall, weighs between 600 and 900 pounds. There's your description. You know what you're looking for. 7 to 9 feet tall. Do you think they get all of this information? Are they just like extrapolating all of this info from like the size of its dumps or like its foot size? I just like, how do they even come up with this amount of information for a mythical beast?
It is oddly specific when nobody really has seen. I've had a friend claim to really have seen Bigfoot cross the road, in also Washington State in the wee hours of the morning.
You want to know who's all in on this hunt? Who? Jose Canseco.
Oh, dude, sign him up.
Team up with him. And you're probably guaranteed to win this $3 million.
Yeah, guaranteed to win the $3 million and get jacked.
Process, well, and dude. At the very least, you'll have a lifetime full of interesting stories to share with people.
Yeah,
like, that's true. You know, restaurants when you're eating by yourself. Did I ever tell you the time me and Jose Canseco hunted the elusive Sasquatch?
When you get a table for one at your favorite restaurant.
But you pick up your meal and go over and sit with a group of strangers so then you can retell the stories.
Dude, one time we were at a diner and we had this guy approach our table who was at another table eating. And he came over and he said, excuse me, everyone. And there was like eight of us there. He's like, excuse me, everyone. I'd like to, he was older, like my parents' age, like 60 to 70 years old. And he goes, I'd like to share, this poem that I wrote with you. And we're like,
oh, beautiful.
I mean, I didn't ask for this on Sunday morning brunch, but I'll take it. He pulls out a sheet of paper and reads this poem, and he was very moved and very touched at the reading of the poem. He was tearing up and stuff. Of his own poem. And I couldn't understand what the meaning of it was. And I wanted so bad to also tear up so that I could share that moment with him and make that moment special. But I couldn't bring myself to do it. And so there's a table of like eight people sitting there just being like, what is going on? And one person pouring out his soul through poetry to us.
And, why?
Just through the tears, he's like, there once was a man from Nantucket.
Yeah. It was a limerick, yeah. So we were like, okay, thank you. This is the opposite where, well, you are then becoming this man that's approaching and being like, I have a poem.
Yeah. Bigfoot. And by the way, after spending what I'm assuming it to be half a year with Jose Canseco in the wilderness, you'll have several poems memorized that you can share with strangers at IHOP.
That could be Jose Canseco finding his own next celebrity boxing match opponent in Sasquatch.
Remember when the old timey guys used to box kangaroos? Now they can box Bigfoots, dude.
Logan Paul is first in line.
Yeah. Sign him up.
No way. Logan Paul would never fight someone who has actual experience. You know, Sasquatch has that reach. Logan Paul ain't getting in the back of him.
Yeah, but he doesn't have any skills, dude. He's just picking up deer and tearing them in half. He's never fought an opponent.
That's true.
It's true. More UFC experience for Sasquatch. It might not translate.
What would we even do with a captured Sasquatch? Like, just it seems like putting an animal like Sasquatch in a cage was so 1920s, you know, for a traveling circus. Yeah. What do we do with him?
Do you put him in a cage, or is he just like the next big influencer? Like,
he's
like, good job.
He does a stint in like NFL.
Yeah, NFL. I get him into pickleball.
Left tackle. Can you imagine him defending the net?
Oh my gosh, dude, you couldn't do anything against him.
That's what I'm saying.
He'd be reaching over the net from behind the no volley zone. He'd be the star athlete. He goes to the Olympics, competes in every single event.
Get into drugs.
Yeah.
He'd like spiral out. Like
all of Michael Phelps' world records gone.
Fila has to make a really, really big shoe for him to wear. Yeah.
He becomes number one paddleboard pickleball influencer.
Yeah.
And
but I'm going to bring him in. So still,
I was like, now you're threatening Tyson.
Yeah. Stop threatening me.
You'll tap into that. You'll become his agent.
Amber in the chat says he's marrying one of the Kardashians.
Oh, for sure. He marries Chloe. But here's the thing. He does have a downward spiral. And in the end, he ends up being like a manager at like a Dunkin' Donuts after picking himself up off the ground.
Yeah.
Drug
and you go in and you're like,
prostitutes.
Are you Bigfoot?
Half his hair is falling out.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Yeah, I'm
just chilling with Chris Humphries and Tristan Thompson. Lamar Odom. They're all just chilling.
Just hanging out at Dunkin' Donuts.
But he does make a comeback with a celebrity boxing match. And from there on, he kind of does a couple documentary. He picks himself back up. You don't think
Dancing with the Stars?
He does Dancing with the Stars. Stars. And Dancing on Ice. Yeah, I mean, that we've just written his whole life story.
He's got two left big feet, right though, now. So not very long on Dancing with the Stars.
No, he doesn't make it.
His feet are left. Yeah. His feet are probably, square, so they don't have an arch at all.
Yeah, so if you're looking for work, you know, here's a job anyone can do. Just pick up your net, the biggest net you have, and head to Oklahoma.
For all you guys that are out there in the Rocky Mountains looking for treasure chests of Spanish doubloons, maybe this is your next endeavor.
Yeah. Why not? $3 million.
Yeah. Somebody's maybe going to get it. Why not it be you? That was pretty good. Good story. And now we're going to transition to our next story. Was that a good transition there? Did you like that, Rick?
That was perfect. There's nothing
seamless
that highlights a transition like using the word transition.
And here we go. Study shows, and keep in mind, study, meaning survey people are the ones that are answering these questions. Study shows people working from home are having sex, dating, taking naps, and doing side hustles on company time during the pandemic.
Finally.
I mean, I think isn't that something we've always done?
Well, yeah, but normally it's in like the supply closet. The naps are done. I don't know how you're taking a nap at work unless you're doing the whole George Costanza thing underneath the desk.
Dude. And
side hustles, yes. I could see doing a side
all
hustle.
All day long. Online. All day long. Yeah. Or get clocking in. I used to work like a real job in an office. And I mean, full disclosure, it was for my dad. But I had my Facebook open, my Twitter open. I had all my social medias open on my computer all the time. So I'd just sit down, write an email, update Facebook, right? So I like to think I'm a pioneer. Before it was cool to do all these things, I was already doing it.
I like to think of the people that are remotely getting their job done. They're being just as productive. But meanwhile, their employer has no idea that they're actually in Oklahoma looking for Bigfoot.
That's true.
Like their time during the day.
Doing a Zoom call with the black, exactly. the fixed up background. So it looks like he's
heading off from the helicopter. Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's in the woods with his giant net gun that he built from watching a DIY on YouTube.
Exactly.
So Tyson, I wanted to read something here. It says at the beginning of the COVID-19 outbreak, there was a heated debate about what people should be doing. Some said that this was a time for self-care and just focusing on making it through one day at a time. Others ascribed to the hustle porn. That's what I want to get to. Hustle porn mentality, saying you should get up early, work out, learn a new language, and read 10 books a day. I have to say that the amount, I'm glad that it has the term hustle porn, because the amount of hustle porn that is showing up in like advertising sidebars in Instagram has definitely gone up the last year. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, like this whole thing, like you should be get up early, do your like slam workout where you like smash things and tip things over and then have 10 glasses of water and then like spin kick a computer.
Yeah. Coffee made from mushrooms.
Yeah, coffee made from mushrooms that you butt chug. I just feel like it's kind of gotten out of hand, and it's interesting that this.
I'm not seeing the same ads you're seeing, Danny.
Yeah, they're definitely targeted.
Your searches are definitely different than mine.
Danny's a go-getter.
But I kind of agree. I feel like I've seen this whole mentality of like, get out there and do it. You're dying.
Well, you see, they actually quoted a tweet here from somebody that if you don't come out of this quarantine with either A, a new skill, B, starting what you've been putting off like a new business, or three, more knowledge, you didn't ever lack the time. You lacked the discipline.
Yeah, I feel like it's aggressive productivity messaging. Like, they're so in your face. Like, yeah, you've got all this time. Why are you wasting it? By the way, who's to say what wasting is to one person?
Right. The other side of the argument is like, if you come out of this pandemic without an emotional problem, great work.
Yeah, terrific job. Or just like, spend more time with your family for a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many approaches to this.
It's like, sorry, kids, I'm learning Spanish.
I'd love to, but generally, while I was at work 8 hours a day, now I get to be home. I'm going to learn Spanish and Chinese. You guys go watch TV.
Your children come in. Dad, will you come play with us? You're like, Espanol.
I will say this news article didn't mention that more people are spending time with their kids during work. It's just the pornography and the streaming.
It's true.
But has it affected productivity? Like, maybe these are things workplaces should offer, depending on how productive.
Oh, we're about to get into that. But first, I'm going to read some of these numbers here.
I love numbers.
42% of people working remotely have been on a physical date over the last. Yeah.
Okay.
These are people that they've done. I think this is what they were doing on. Yeah. On the clock. Okay. 41 have had sex. That's a pretty good turnover. 42% going on a date to 41% having had sex. That means only 1% from going on a date to actually, you know,
if you're the 1% the deal. Who didn't close, you're feeling pretty bad right now.
Almost half said they've had an alcoholic drink on the clock. Okay. About 60% have taken a nap on the clock. An overwhelming, this is their word, overwhelming. I say underwhelming because I do it all the time. So I just assumed 100%.
Yeah, that's what I'm
overwhelming. 77% say they shop online while on the clock at least once a week. Around 50% have worked for another company while on the clock with their primary employer. And 44% have been reprimanded at least once for getting off task.
Seems
39% have been let go from their jobs for doing non-work related activities. And despite 76% of respondents spending more than 4 hours each day focused on work, 40% of participants said they spend four or more hours away from their computers. And the last one, 100% of the people doing the survey took the survey while clocked in.
I love how you added that last one because it's totally true.
It's for sure true.
100%.
Oh, a survey. Why don't I do this while I'm clocked in? I got nothing better to do. Let's see where we're at here. Yeah.
You know, what's frustrating about articles like this is that we've come across articles saying people are having less sex during the pandemic. We've also, I've seen several articles saying that a big thing now is to stop drinking. And it's like, what's the truth? Depends on who it is that you're asking. Obviously, survey people, this is what they're doing.
Yeah, they love
while they're at work. But I'm surprised that this percentage of survey people are having sex. Like, that does surprise me.
I like to think of the married couples who are just like, no sex, no sex, no sex. Like, well, if I'm getting paid for it, like, I'm on the clock. We may as well.
Now it's worth it. Yeah, and if you look at like some of the other numbers in this game or in this article are that heavy drinking, lots of marijuana, video games, lots of junk food, lots of Netflix and porn on the clock, and they're saying that alcohol sales, all of that stuff skyrocketed. So those were the businesses to be in during this pandemic.
The truth is a lot of these things were, and we talked about this, I think years ago, about how little time was spent actually working at the job. And especially they did surveys about how much time people spent on Facebook while at the office. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm with Tyson. I'm like 77% shopping online. Not surprising.
Yeah.
And by the way, 60% taking a nap. I mean, when I had a job for a short while, I definitely fell asleep occasionally at the computer. You know, like some of these numbers are probably very similar to what was happening at the office anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I think so. And although probably some of them are definitely against the law to do at the office.
I doubt 41% were having relations.
We're sealing the deal on the 42% dates.
At the office. That would just be disgusting. That would that would turn every office into Caligula, the sex buffet. It's like you would go into the supply closet and it'd just be gross.
Yeah. It's like Grey's Anatomy in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's on the clock doing
and then nobody would watch Grey's Anatomy because it's like, oh, that's boring. It's just like regular life. Exactly. A lot of people in the chat are actually saying they are listening to this podcast while on the clock at work, which is fine because you can listen and still probably do your tasks.
You're learning. This is basically a book.
You are. You're improving yourself.
Yeah. So you're following the whole hustle porn
mentality.
Mentality. Exactly. Yeah, you are improving yourself by listening to this. Another thing it touches on that I just want to comment on is that I've seen several reports forecasting hedonistic times ahead, right? I guess that after things like the Spanish flu or World War One, people went absolutely crazy. And this is like porn, weed, and drinking are all part of that. And so it's going to be interesting to see if things like Caligula were just an outlier or if basically the whole world turns into a giant Caligula party. And for those, I don't know if you know, Devin's what we're referring to, but Caligula was a, it wasn't a swingers, wasn't it? Just an
it was a swingers club in New York
with a full buffet. So that's where the world is heading, according to this article.
Yeah.
It's like, I brought my own takeout, actually, guys. I'll be over here and then I'm waiting a half hour and diving right in.
That's smart.
Because you don't want to cramp up.
Definitely not.
Keeping on the work theme.
Nice.
Amazon introduces tiny Zen booths for stressed out warehouse workers. These warehouse workers are notorious for not even having a moment's time to do anything extracurricular on the clock. And now they're introducing these little Zen booths that look like upright coffins. And inside they have, you can have screen time where it like walks you through, some relaxation practices. And, then there's like posters on the wall. I'm not sure if it's like the Never Give Up posters, those,
hang in there.
And then, and so you can go in there. There's a fan cooling you off and then, soft blue light throughout.
You know, who could use this?
Jeff Bezos.
Did you see that video?
Of the 41% of people having sex at work.
Or the 1% not.
No, that delivery driver. I don't know if you saw that video of the, I can't remember if he's at Amazon or UPS. I think he was Amazon. Anyway, he's just screaming from his truck. Over and over and over and over again. And they probably built this for just him. Places we could go and scream.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know if it's soundproof, but that should make sense.
It definitely is soundproof. It has to be.
My problem with this is that the warehouse workers famously don't even have time to take a break or urinate or use the bathroom or else they're going to get off schedule. And so are these little Zen booths just for public appearances? Like, you know, like when you go into like a hip office where there's like 10 ping pong tables, an indoor basketball court and video game arcade. And you're like, wow, that's cool. You have that at work. And they're like, yeah, we're not allowed to use any of it. It's only there so people who come in can look and see how chill we are. And you're like, okay, well, that's cool. So is that their play right now?
You know what they should do? You know how that you always read or see these stories about Amazon having all this leftover stuff that just gets thrown away. Why doesn't Amazon in every warehouse create a smash room? That would be far more productive.
Dude.
Where every employees can just go in and kick the living hell out of returned products that can no longer be resold.
That
would be a bonus.
Oh, that'd feel so good to punch through a computer screen or
smash
something.
Smash stuff, you know, it would just feel so great.
I like that idea. I thought you were going to say put it in like a lost and found bin that you can help yourself to.
So I think smashing is definitely going to get more of a return.
I think so. But also like, what about the big money items like a TV and stuff?
Okay, you know, the TVs, they can go through. There's two different levels, Tyson.
There's two categories. There's the presents, the bonuses.
Yeah, the bonuses, return stuff you can take home. And then there's the smash room, mm-hmm. right? And maybe every month they talk about what they'd like to see in the smash room.
Yeah.
And they get some new things added in. But that would be productive. Yeah.
But Tyson really nailed it, though. It's like, okay, now you have a little porta potty you can go to escape in with your little, I'm just imagining like the Amazon curated videos where it's like, we'll give you this trial for 1 minute. And if you want to keep it, 99 cents.
Exactly.
Or it's like, how long till the
Amazon credit card?
Yeah, right. Like, how long are you in there before your manager smashing the door? Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, get out here. You're off task. Well, Hornacek in the chat says Amazon will hire actors to be in these booths all the time. So people coming by will think the booths are being used nonstop and think, wow, Amazon is letting their employees relax. Genius. They're going to pay actors SAG wages. To just sit in the booths and have a quiet cry or whatever they're going to do, whatever they want to do in the room. But yeah, also Amazon employees are also known for peeing and pooping in bags because they don't have time to use the real restroom. So is this just another place for them to take a quick dump in the corner of the little coffin and then get out of there?
Or maybe Amazon should just focus on hiring people who enjoy pooping in bags. And peeing in bottles, like put that as part of the hiring process. Cause I'm sure there's some people out there who are like, I love peeing in public into a bag. Like, all right, you're our guy.
We'd but love I to think hire those you. Guys, no, those are high risk employees, Dan. You can't, I don't think you could hire one of them and in good conscience be like, they're going to be okay around other people.
And you know what? Peeing in bottles. I'm sure we've all done it. It's so risky.
I'm sure
we've all done it. You just never know how much pee is going to come out. And you'll be surprised by how much does come out sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you've got amazing control.
Or a 2-liter
bottle. Switching bottles is almost impossible. Yeah, but 2-liter bottles, that's also risky. That's a tiny opening, Tyson. We're talking you need a big opening that allows a little room for error.
So are you saying that Perrier needs to come out with a bottle with a bigger mouth?
Maybe Amazon needs to come out with a bottle.
A pee bottle?
Yeah, that they can sell their employees. They not only have a lot of in it for hydration.
They sell it to the employees. They don't even give it to them.
It's like when you sign up for a job and they're like, here's your uniform. It's going to be taken out of your first month's check.
Yeah,
that's exactly what this is.
And we require demand that you sign up for this hydration clinic.
Yeah.
But keep the bottles around because you'll also be using those to urinate in.
I know I've already referenced The Office, but that's basically what I do in life. And Dwight Schrute tried peeing in a can while in a moving vehicle, and he cut his penis with the lid. So there are a lot of risk factors.
Way too dangerous. An aluminum can is basically a guillotine.
Yeah.
you got to be careful. That's too sharp.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, that's true. You know what? True.
Maybe Coke should
come
out.
That's actually how circumstances were. Circumcisions, I'm sorry, were invented was an aluminum can accident.
Coke should come out with a bottle where its opening is large enough to accommodate any size wang, but also the label can be torn off as like a wipe. So like you can clean up and then put it in the bottle, then screw on the lid. And then you tear off another label to let other people know that it is now a piss bomb.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
this isn't the sort of idea you just put out there. Someone's going to take this from you. You need to keep that.
Take it, run.
Sell it to Coke.
We have a date on this. We know when our idea came out. And
we just recorded it. So basically, this is now copyrighted.
We just need to get in touch with Shark Tank. Hi, I'm Tyson, and this is Danny and Devins. And we're here today to introduce to you. And then all at the same time, we all say, the piss bottle.
But it's more.
Oh, so much more. With velvet lining on the inside.
What?
Of the lid. So this is comfortable.
I don't know if I could have my name attached to this anymore with the velvet and stuff.
The tear off sanitizing wipes.
Yeah, I think I like it though. We're off topic a little bit, but still, I think this is purely a...
No, we're not off topic. Tyson, you buy this product on Amazon and use it while staking out the forest hunting Bigfoot.
I thought
this
you
is
use
great for stakeouts.
You can also use it in the little Zen booths
or working from home.
I was just going to say,
how many Zen booths are going to be there? One Zen booth in the entire warehouse?
I don't know. It doesn't say in the article.
Yeah, we'll find out.
I just love that our pee bottle is actually a better idea than these Zen booths.
Way better, dude. Way
100%.
Because you know what? Nothing brings greater Zen than having an empty bladder.
You know, the story about peeing and pooing in their trucks or at work, I would be interested in getting a number on that. And then maybe comparing it against people who have peed and pooed in their workspace at other jobs. I feel like it's been sensationalized, but maybe not. But what I would like to see is more data on how many people have actually gone the bathroom into a container while at work for working for Amazon.
I'll tell you,
I always see it in every headline, but I never see a report of how many people have actually said they've done that at Amazon.
That's because Amazon employees don't have time to take surveys while on the clock.
I could believe that, but I would still like to see a number. It's the most sensational part of the story always. But
I mean, we can kind of get an idea here because there's three of us. I've had emergency pees, but I've never had emergency poops where I've like found a creative place to poop. Danny?
Oh, wait, what am I confessing to? Having to go diarrhea somewhere?
Or pee in a bottle. Have you had emergency pees?
I've peed in bottles multiple times.
Okay, what about emergency poops?
I have had in my life one emergency poop.
Okay.
Not Devin? In this country.
Only on Survivor did I ever have an emergency poop, actually.
Okay.
Before a challenge, I was real nervous and I was like, guys, I got to roll.
Yeah, that's fine.
It wasn't good. But I can't imagine a job. Like, what is the pressure your job is putting on you where you're like, eating? I'm going to poop in a bag. Like, there's no job I've ever, even if I was on the news desk live during TV, I'd be like, I got to take a break. I'm not going to poop here.
But I mean, think they don't have time and they're not close enough because they're somebody's watching them and stopping them from using the bathroom at risk of losing their job.
And the people who are watching them and watching over them, they don't have to ever go to the bathroom. I think there's bathroom sympathy that goes across from human to human. Like
you would have to. You think that's one of the basic. Yeah.
Because then your problem isn't time. Your problem is your managers are obviously bathroom haters who probably have the tightest buttholes in the hardest poos ever. And they're like, I go once every 5 days. Why do you have to go so often?
My body is optimally trained to absorb everything most calories.
Yeah, everything I eat is compacted into a small pellet that comes out. It's denser than a dead star.
So you think that maybe Amazon's next product should be something you insert that compacts your poop?
No, what I was getting at is maybe the problem isn't time, although people would love to have more time to go on the internet and shop and have sex and drink. But maybe the problem is managers. Maybe they need to somehow change the way they're hiring managers who are obviously policing other people's time like psychos. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely have to find a sociopath who is willing to enforce.
Well, it sounds like that's all they're hiring. Like, I don't know what kind of test. Like, what kind of inkblot test they're doing?
I see another dead kitten. That looks more like, I see the same thing. Yep.
My hobbies include cutting myself and setting animals on fire. It's like, you're hired. You're a great fit for Amazon.
First, they're making their drivers pee and poo in bags and bottles, and now they're putting in literal bathroom stalls into their warehouses without toilets. They probably didn't even add Zen Boost. They just took the toilets out of the stall.
That's exactly what they did.
And put in a touch screen.
Honestly, to me, it looks like they're repurposing phone booths. Like they got a bunch of phone booths. They just dress them up and put them back in, which is nice. Recycle, reuse, repurpose. But not going to find a lot of peace of mind in that tiny room.
Ed in the chat says he works for Amazon and it's horrible. Maybe not anymore, Ed.
Yeah. Ed's maybe listening to us in the Zen booth right now.
Yeah, he gets 1 minute free. Our next story, unless we have something more to add to that.
I think we polished this one off.
Is one that Rick or Devins, I keep calling him Rick because we're friends and I can call him by his first
name.
Best friends. Devins, do you want to introduce this story?
I would love to introduce this story. It's a story about a name. a name that for some reason has fallen out of favor, apparently, with less people using it in 2020 on their infant children than ever before. That name is Karen. Do you guys have any theories for why Karen might not be?
I do have used? A theory, but in order to test my theory, I have to ask about the name Boomer. Is that also dropping in popularity?
I don't see it here in the it's article. The Let list. Me check with my sources.
Okay.
Does Karen have a nickname? Not Care not Bear? The B word. Care Bear. But there's no like easy nickname.
No, there's no change Karen. To it. So Karen, yeah.
Rin.
Yeah. As I mean, we all know that any I mean, how will you just how do you everybody knows what a Karen is now. It's unfortunate for those already named Karen. Yeah. This is now the connotation that it is, but it's dropped 171 spots on the popularity list, which is it's only the 14th biggest decrease on the girls list in 2020. So there's even wow. Bigger name drops than Karen. Anyways.
And you know what the most shocking thing to me about this article was kind of how perfectly the name Karen is being used, because it's being used to describe what? Like these older white women who are causing big scenes. And it's unfortunate for all the older white women named Karen who are terrific and forward thinking, like yeah. two teachers I had in high school. But this article says in 1965, at the height of its popularity, there were 33,000 newborn Karens. So you just think about what age those 1965 women are. Not like Karen wow. was a perfect name.
Yeah, they're all 65. They're all 55 now, which is the age of the Karens.
This is the crazy thing. Anytime your name could represent could something,
be smart so for
like politics. Yeah, besmirch. All it takes is just the right circumstances. Like someone starts saying, dude, I just took a huge Danny in my pants or into Danny'd this bottle. Over.
Yeah.
And it's like all of a sudden Danny now represents a giant dump. I mean, it could happen in a flash. And then all of a sudden it's like, dude, what do? I changed my name.
Danny Masterson trying to ruin it for you.
That's
Mike
right.
Tyson, I imagine, always on the back of your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always someone like out there that. Working hard. Now, guys, here's a question that I had. I had to look it up. What is the male version of a Karen?
Probably Boomer. No, is Boomer different? Boomer's different because Boomer is like somebody who doesn't know.
Ken?
Yes, Ken is one. And opinions vary, but Ken is the one I've seen a lot of. But you don't hear people refer to a Ken.
Not as much, no.
I thought it was Chad. I thought Chad was perfect.
No, Chad is more like the frat boy.
Yeah, I think Chad with the collar popped up.
Yeah, yeah.
So this article has Ken, Terry, or Greg. Honestly, I didn't like any of those. I don't think any of those quite. And maybe it's because Karen doesn't translate. Like Chad is the version of like the male version of the Karen. There's really no clear winner, in my opinion, for the male equivalent. Terry is another one that someone suggests. But obviously, Keith, there's nothing.
Richard. There's a lot, but nothing's like as clear for some reason as Karen. Like the first time somebody said, okay, Karen,
it made sense.
It just, everybody got it.
Bang.
Yeah. Bang. There are universal truths that when you hear them, you tap into like the total human consciousness and you agree. And they were like this calm washed over you. And
so that's how we know we're living in a matrix.
You're like, that is a truth.
Yeah, we're all linked together in some weird capacity.
Where is the word Karen 1,000 years from now, though? You know, like, does it just substitute the word for some of the, you know?
It becomes its definition. Yeah, don't say that anymore. It becomes its definition and is no longer even considered or known as being a name. But we have some listeners that are named Karen that are lovely. and it's one of those crazy things. Like all growing up, I always got Tyson Chicken references and Mike Tyson references. And fortunately for me, Mike Tyson's kind of made a resurgence in a positive way for the most part. So that hasn't been too hard on me, but
can you imagine being a Karen? It's like, you can't even defend yourself because then you're just being a Karen.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I think it, like, I totally reasonably think that this is a little unfair to me. It's like, okay, Karen.
Yeah. Nice, right. Try, Karen.
How many got, nice Karens? You
know, other people have problems too.
Yeah. How many nice Karens have wanted to open their mouth to complain about their Starbucks order, but they just shut it immediately because they're like, I can't risk it.
Yeah. I already have my name on the cup. And if I say anything,
No.
People with their phones, you're like, I'm out.
They're not giving their real name to put on that cup.
Yeah. Ever. No. My name is, it's Kieran.
I'm K-Dog.
K-Money.
I like K-Money. K-Money.
Yeah, that's, but then eventually we're going to catch on. So anybody named Karen who becomes K-Money, we're going to be like,
Let's say that a comet was hurtling towards Earth and one person volunteered to steer the ship into the comet and redirect it. And it was Karen. Karen such and such. Would that be enough to save the name Karen
from its
current trajectory?
If Karen saved the entire planet, then people would then be naming. I mean,
maybe. I think there'd be a moment where
I got a hard disagree on this. I can already see the memes that are like, even comets aren't safe from Karen.
I agree with that. It wouldn't be enough. There's no way you can save this name. It's like,
yeah. Sorry. Paul in the chat says the
it's like
male
if
version
saved us from an asteroid.
Yeah, he'd still have done a lot of, but it's different
not
because
Hitler,
he's one.
Like Derek Hitler.
Derek Hitler.
You're still not going to be naming your kid Hitler.
It's true, but that's a little bit different because Karen is just a general name. It's not linked to just one person.
So that's so true. In fact, let me apologize to all the Karens for any comparison to Hitler
and all the Derek H's. Yeah.
Even though I was never referencing actual Hitler, I just want to backtrack 100%. And we have Professor Nino. This is my podcast.
Tyson, what were you going to say?
I mean,
made a comment.
Yeah, someone had made a comment and said the male version of OK Karen has just got to be OK Dude or OK Bro, which is kind of true because when you say it, like when there's like an old dude says something, I'm like, OK, bro. Like, yeah, I definitely see myself saying that. I used to say OK, old man, but make sure that the person was the same age as me or slightly younger. And so if they were like, hey, you shouldn't be doing that, I'll be like, okay, old man. And then that would really stink.
Obviously, the difference is everyone, you can get or receive the title dude, bro, or old man. You weren't born with that. It's not the name that is on your credit card, on all of your registration.
Yeah.
It's the name you carry with you. It's just the title that people give you. And it's more flexible than Karen in some ways. Mm-hmm. But I still don't think that's it.
Yeah. No, there isn't. There isn't one that equates fully to that, unless OK Boomer was named after Boomer Esiason, but I think it was more named after baby boomers.
Yeah. See, again, it's just a title. It's not.
But what does Boomer Esiason do in that? Is
he a football player?
Boomer?
He played football, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a lot of boomers.
Yeah, not a lot of boomers, but I think probably even less boomers now.
Unless you go to Oklahoma and look for that book, Bigfoot, and everyone there's a boomer.
That's true. There's a lot of boomers. But nobody's naming their kids Boomer anymore, I don't think.
That's true.
How about Karen defends a school bus full of children from Sasquatch and dies in the process? Still not enough.
Somebody said, what about 100 Karens save the Earth from a comet?
I'd watch that movie.
And then
100 assembling 100 Karens in one spaceship is a recipe for disaster. One of them is going to be a legitimate Karen who's like complaining,
just ruining the fun for everybody.
Yeah, they're like, we should not do the second separation yet. You're always in my space. Get out of my launch sequence. I just don't think it would work out because you're going to get a legit Karen on that ship.
Yeah,
and they'll end up bumping the comet like directly into one of the most beloved places on Earth. You know, pick your place, but that's probably what would happen.
Yeah. Maybe the greatest insult you could have is if Danny, like, let's say Danny went to Starbucks, they got his order wrong. He complained and somebody said, don't be a Karen to Danny. That's I think the male equivalent of Karen is also Karen.
Yeah, I think it does work.
It does work.
Karen
for sure.
Definitely go both ways.
100%. So, I'm sorry to all the people that are named Karen currently and dislike it. It's still a fine name. And
we don't make the rules of the world.
We don't make the rules. We're just reporting on
every single one of us is Karen about you. Karen.
Yes, exactly.
Dude, Devin's right. is a great stand
on par with puns. Yeah.
The puns. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. He's got some wordplay going on too. Anything else on the Karens? No. I take your silence to mean no. We're about to move into... Oh, go ahead, Danny.
There will be other Karen stories in the future. I can promise you that.
Michael in the chat says, what if the most popular name alien names is Karen?
Oh, my gosh. That would just be a recipe for disaster. We would automatically just disregard everything the alien had to say. It's like, I bring you free health care and unlimited power with no pollution. It's like, get out of here. We don't want it, Karen.
Always trying to get in our business, Karen.
Nice try,
solve
Karen.
Solve your own planet's problems before coming.
We can figure our stuff out on our own. Okay, then without further ado, we will move into one of the most beloved segments of the podcast. Without further ado, Danny's Bolt Hole.
Welcome to my Bolt Hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Get into it, Danny.
Had long enough of a pause?
Yeah, it only needs to be just no sound, and we did it.
Pausing is so weird.
Is it?
Like, I kind of like it. Like, that's what the whole Amazon booth is for, to pause. It's
taking pause, yeah.
Inflection while pausing.
Is that what you did during that small pause?
I did.
Look back on your life and realize all your mistakes?
Yeah, I definitely did.
Used some mindfulness during that pause. I feel gathered for the boat hole.
Yeah, I have to say that I didn't.
I was tempted to talk today about more alien stuff. I saw an NFT go up for sale, and it was the one frame of an alien autopsy. And I think they were asking for $1 million for this one frame.
They probably got 5 million for it.
One negative. Well, it hasn't sold yet. Finally, Charlie bit my finger, did sell, and it did sell for $760,000. But then I think they're going to keep it up on YouTube after all of that. It sounded like they were going to keep it up, whoever bought it.
You can keep it up on YouTube. They're just the owners of it.
Yeah, but originally the story was that they were going to take it down, you know, to really possess the original and not to share it, and to increase its value, they have to limit the number of people who could view it. Although it's without a doubt, it's spread out there. It's out there. So
yeah.
Anyway, I was going to talk about that. The first frame, you should go see the picture. It's so stupid. And this is one of the biggest problems with the whole alien stories that come up today, is that the alien stories of today are dragging along all the alien stories of the past, which were just awful. All the alien stories, the, you know, UFO stories from the Inquirer, all those stories are dragging down the Tic Tac stories of today. And this is just another example of that, with that negative out there, the stupid alien on being autopsied. It's just, we don't need that stuff. Let's start fresh on the UAP UFO stuff. So that's just a rant, but not what I wanted to talk about. If you're a Karen, I've got some good news for you. And you don't even have to do anything, because it's a built-in human defensive mechanism, and it's called optimism bias. Tyson, if you were to guess what that meant, give me your definition. I bet you can pick it up just out of the context.
If you're more optimistic in general, you tend to get more optimistic things happening to you in your life.
I like that. That's what an optimism bias would indicate. The definition they have here is to overestimate the likelihood of positive events happening and underestimate potentially negative ones. And it's called optimism bias. And
that's how they sell lottery tickets.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And 80%
of the global lottery tickets. Why not me?
80% of the global population possesses this to some degree. And this was an article I read in the BBC because I found it fascinating, because I'm always confused why humans are so determined to live under horrible circumstances. Like, if you read history books, you're like, dude, why? Like, why would you want to live in those conditions? And the story goes on to talk about how it's kind of built in, thank goodness, to us that things are going to get better. Like, it's something we always believe, at least 80% of us. And so we push on because we can't imagine things getting any worse. And they're talking about the pandemic and how our mentality affects us. But they also talk about how this, even in the face of reality, this kind of stands out. And it's one of the things that I love about humans. Like, to me, it's one of the best things. When the aliens come down here and they try to break our spirit like they've done in a million Hollywood movies, but they can't, right? Because the human will, like, perseveres and pushes through. And now, you know, I've got a name to put to that. And it's because of the optimism bias. It's what allows us to be enslaved by our alien masters and moved off planet to mine, you know, our lives away in the salt mines, but still
thrive.
Thrive and live our whole life in the salt mines, thinking that somehow we'll get out, even though there's no evidence that we'll ever break free. But we give the aliens a good 50 years of our prime, you know, mining that salt, and we never give up because we think that things are going to get better.
Yeah, we think they can't get worse.
And it can't get worse. And the aliens, they'll try and make it worse, right?
I like how you guys are at one point saying that things can't get worse, and on the other hand, describing the darkest future for humanity that we could possibly imagine. It's like, you know what I love? We're all going to be enslaved and taken to these mines. I'm just pretty optimistic.
But that's, yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying, is that even in that moment where you've got your laser pickaxe and your mining salt, and the aliens are like, more salt, and you're like, okay, I will. And then in your mind, you're like, this is only temporary. We will
bounce back. Like, if I can thrive. Put one joke that just gets to these aliens' core, they'll understand.
Yeah, that like, we're like them.
They like us.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, exactly, this is right. What fuels us. This is our, like, psychological fuel for progress. But it does give us a warning, because it also leads us to underestimate the dangers, right? So when the aliens do come down, you're going to underestimate the dangers. It also talks about how a lot of people, because of this optimism bias, they believe that they possess certain strengths that necessarily aren't there. Like, they might have stronger genes, or they're healthier than the average person, even though I drink Mountain
Dew. I'm guilty of all of that. I'm guilty 100% of all of that. Yeah. Even when, like, really terrible things happen, I'm just like, it's going to turn around any minute.
And by the way, this feature shows up in all cultures at about the same percentage. So it's something we share. It's probably one of the few things that ties all of us together as the human race, is just this belief that things are going to get better. So, I mean, this article is a pretty long one. It basically says, you know, take into account that you have this, and, you know, try to take the necessary precautions when living your life, because failure does happen. But I'm also saying that, yeah,
it's also optimist.
It's one of the things that most impresses me about humans, because honestly, if you read, like I said, any history books, you'd just be like, why would humans continue to be in this condition? And it's because they just assume it's going to get better. And I say, thank goodness, you know, out of all our traits, I'm glad that we have this one, because otherwise it would just be Jonestown every day, all day.
I like it because, like, imagine, like, you're working at Amazon on the warehouse floor. You're having a crap day, literally in a bag. And then you go to the little telephone booth, and you sit there, and you're like, this is only temporary. Soon I'll be the one policing who and what goes to the bathroom and when, you know, and that's the beauty of being human.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, in all seriousness, I think it's one of the better traits that humans have. It's why we are where we are on the computer talking to each other.
That's why one of my favorite things to do is just sit there and daydream about all the private islands I should probably be owning at some point in my life.
I have to feel like animals have this trait too. Like the animals, you know, yes. Like there's a, because I feel like any animal who doesn't have this trait is just extinct now. They're just like, screw
the
it.
Dodo.
Yeah, I just gave up. I give up.
I do think about this. Every time I see animals in winter, I do wonder what keeps them going.
The spring, yeah. The hope of the spring, dude.
But really, do they have any concept of time?
Or like when you're out in like pouring rain and you just see a horse just standing there in the field, just taking it. And you're like, oh my gosh, dude, it is dumping rain. And that horse is just like, man, it'll probably get sunny.
Maybe it's not the big thing they're looking to. Maybe it's not like someday I'll win the lottery. Maybe it's all the little things. Like,
yeah.
like I'm at Amazon right now doing packages, but tonight when I get home, I'm adding to the statistic of alcohol bought. Like that is my
exactly you
know, silver lining.
So Amazon workers are being compared to horses standing in the rain. That's just what it sounded like to me.
I'm sorry.
Those poor guys.
We feel for both
humans in general. Like I've been the horse standing in the rain many times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's such an image. It's such a strong image because I have also looked at horses standing in the rain. And I just wondered, like,
they always look sad, dude. They look so sad.
They don't even move. They don't even try to find shelter.
They're just holding still like it'll pass. And it's like, why don't you move? There's cover right there, I think. And they're like, nah, it's going to pass. Things are going to be better than they were
before. They don't even go under trees. It's Tyson's 100% correct. They just stand in the middle of the field just like
with a sad face. Yeah. And their head kind of like down and then like their hair soaked, just dripping. Yeah.
Well, I'm sad now.
Yeah. And on that note,
my optimism bias is gone.
But then the sun comes out, they dry, they're galloping, eating carrots,
Maine the kids are bringing them the apples. Wind.
Yeah. And it's really true. So, yeah. And now the Pete in the chestnuts isn't standing in the rain half of Survivor. That's true. I was the sad horse on Survivor standing there in the dumping rain while Jeff's like, hey, you guys can't get under shelter because I'm talking to you right now. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I guess Amazon.
They did that on purpose, didn't they? To make
for sure they
need those miserable shots.
They have to.
I remember the first time that it was pouring rain when we came back from tribal and they were like, everybody wait right here. We want to get you the shot of you guys coming back into camp.
Yeah.
And like 5 minutes later, there's not a dry part of us. We have to go to sleep for the night. We're like, are you serious? They were. I was being very stupid. And
my first time they were like, Tyson, it's dumping rain and you're dry in the shelter. Come on out. We're going to do an interview. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. Dude. And they're like, you have to do that. I'm like, nope, I'm not going to. And they're like, you have to. And I was like, I don't want to. And they're like, you have to. And I was like, but like, for real, can't you just wait till it doesn't rain? They're like, no, because we need this shot of you in the rain because it looks miserable like it is. And you're like, okay.
Oh, dude, that's just the worst.
Yeah. You're there dry. They pull you out on purpose to drench you to then do an interview. Fantastic.
Look at you peeling back the curtain, showing everybody
inside baseball.
Yep. Cool. Well, know what? I liked this is pretty good. Devin's great. Felt really official and professional.
Yeah, Devin's, you did a fantastic job.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
My optimism bias is back.
Boom, all the way up.
Boom.
We want to thank you, Devin, so much for filling in for Rob while he's moving cross country from LA to North Carolina, I believe. I will give out his exact address next week. And I want to thank everybody who tuned in. And then you can also listen to this. Danny, you have anything coming up in the near future?
Just a lot of the same old, traveling around, having adventures and trying to avoid death. Everything looks sunny.
Well, as long as you're always trying to avoid death, let me know if there's a time when you're not trying to avoid death and we'll have a talk about optimism.
You know, at first, death doesn't exist. I felt like when I was younger, it didn't exist. Yeah. And then in your 30s, late 30s, you begin to realize that people actually do die. And I feel like from like your late 30s on, it is a battle against death. Like, and death is Sasquatch and you are fighting him every single day or at least low level fighting. It's a war of attrition for sure.
Yeah, inside your head. Devins, you got anything coming up that you want to announce to the entire world?
I'm looking for some kind of heat seeking equipment. I've got a trip planned to Oklahoma.
Cool.
If anybody's got anything, reach out to me. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling soon I'm going to be very, very rich. So maybe when that happens, we can plan a vacation or something.
So it's an investment opportunity for these people with heat seeking.
100%.
I like
heat
it.
Heat seeking.
That's smart.
No one's ever thought of that.
Dude, genius.
I've never looked through any heat-seeking devices.
I should get a heat-seeking device because I have nature up on my hill in my backyard.
I bet it's just like a giant light bloom right in the crotch and armpits. Like, yeah, isn't that what it would look like?
The heat levels, like, yeah.
If someone fired a heat-seeking missile at a human, it would just go straight to the crotch.
It's like, gotta be a hard spot. Bigfoot,
yeah.
The bright spot in his crotch,
where all the heat's generating from.
Yeah, are you Tyson?
I'm going to San Diego next week to play some poker and some pickleball, and then after that, I don't know. My birthday's coming up this month, That's right. I'll be 42 finally, Danny. Catching up to you again. I always seem to be 6 months behind.
When's your birthday?
June 17.
Outstanding.
I wonder how long I'd have to travel at what speed so we could catch up in age.
And be identical?
And be identical.
I mean, you'd have to backtrack.
I'll do the math.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
I'll figure that offline. Out. I got an Apple calculator on my phone. I'll just plug in some numbers.
Very cool.
It'd be awesome.
So thanks again for tuning in. And that's News AF for you. Signing off. We did it, guys.
Woo!